Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so fortunately, I don't actually have to spend a ton of time in cars, but last week I did because I was shuttling my kid back and forth to and from camp. And, you know, traffic has been atrocious because of all of that ComAv bridge construction. So one day last week, I'm on the Mass Ave bridge. I'm totally stuck, dead standstill, and this song comes on. And I'm so excited because I love this song.
I hear the drums echoing tonight, but she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
Okay, but hang on here, because something's wrong, right? I'm thinking, is this a recently unearthed demo track of Toto's Africa? A song I have loved since I was 7 years old. And then they hit the chorus. Oh my God, so wrong, so horrible. But you kind of have to rubberneck through a song like this just to find out who hammered out this atrocity. And I finally, at the end of the track, I find out, thanks a lot, Mix 104, it's Weezer. Now, the thing I don't get, this cover is on super heavy rotation right now. It's everywhere. And why? I mean, it is so very bad. It tries so hard to mimic the original, the classic, which, by the way, just to get the bad taste of the Weezer cover out of our system, let's listen to Toto from 1982. Yeah, you see, that's how you're supposed to do it, right? Now, it made me wonder about this eternal question. Why do some covers stink, but others actually become more famous than the original? So joining me now to help me answer this endless mystery is Melissa Farrick. She's Associate Professor of Songwriting at Berklee College of Music. Melissa, it is great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I should say you performed with Weezer, right?
I have. I toured with Weezer during the big, huge tour. I mean, like 1995 when they had Buddy Holly. It was amazing.
You were shaking your head.
Well, because they're so good. I love Weezer.
And
I can't believe
bad.
This happened. I did the same thing. I first of all suffered through the entire song.
Oh, God, yes.
And then when they said it was Weezer, I was like, what? I didn't even recognize them as Weezer.
We're going to come back to this in just a second because I do want to introduce another guest. Joining us from New York is Ray Padgett. He's the author of the book Cover Me, the stories behind the greatest cover songs of all time. He's also creator of the website covermesongs.com. Ray, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
It is great to have you. Now, listeners, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We've got a ton of songs we want to play today, but if you have one of your favorite cover songs that you want to just give a shout out to, call us at 800-423-8255 or send me a tweet at Radio Boston. Now, okay, so Melissa and Ray, getting back to this Weezer debacle, Melissa, can you explain this? Like, what are they trying to do here? I don't get it.
Well, I'm really glad. So one of the things that I had said the other day was I've really been upset about this for a while, to be honest with you. I've been upset about this cover.
Because it's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad. And Rivers is smarter than this. And so finally, I came to the conclusion that they must have done this so badly on purpose. And now it's been confirmed that is true, that they did this cover because they were harassed by a fan. I think they took probably 50 minutes to do this.
Okay.
It's so bad because it's like trying to be exactly the same except for this like horrific electric guitar, but way worse.
So wait, Ray, is Melissa saying that it's the result of some sort of Twitter harassment or what?
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
It's sort of, even if you hate the cover, I kind of like the story behind it, which is that a 14-year-old girl in Cleveland one day had some random idea that she likes Weezer, she likes Africa. She starts a Twitter account called literally Weezer Cover Africa by Toto, and like daily is tweeting at the band members and their manager and their web developer for months. And so fine. And it goes viral is a strong word, but it gets a few hundred followers. Vice interviews her at one point. And so finally they cover, and this is the part I love the most, they cover the Toto song Rosanna.
Oh.
But then 2 days later, they finally succumb and actually cover the Toto song she wanted them to cover, which was Africa.
Okay, and do we know what Toto thinks about this?
Oh, Toto is loving it. Are you kidding
come
me?
Come on.
It's relevant in decades.
No. Yeah.
They're covering tomorrow. They are releasing their response cover of Weezer's song Hashpipe.
Oh, this is fantastic. Now I love it.
Now you love it?
Yeah, now I want to join in.
The story,
I think we should all start
the story.
Covering.
I just wish the cover was better.
What does it say about, I mean, Melissa, what does it say about commercial radio? Sorry, guys, but that this song, I mean, it's, I think I heard it in an hour like six times.
You did? Yeah, well, I don't really listen to commercial radio, so I listen to BUR and jazz. That's about it. But yeah, I don't know. There just is so much great music out there, and there's so many great covers. Like, why bang this one constantly?
Okay, so we're going to move on from Weezer and Toto. We can come back to Weezer overall here. But speaking of great covers, nice. We have so many lined up here for this conversation. Melissa, what's one of your favorites?
So I have to bring up Killing Me Softly.
Okay.
Also, because it's the 20th anniversary of Ms. Lauryn Hill's The Miseducation. But the Fugees nailed this. This was originally made famous by Roberta Flack, of course, in 1973. But it was originally written by this guy named Charles Fox and Norman Gimbel, who released it under this artist, Lori Lieberman, in 1971. So this is a great example of a song that first comes out and does nothing, then comes out pretty soon after, and Roberta Flack nails it, and Lauryn Hill's vocal on this track is just...
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
So we have both versions, the Roberta Flack version and the Fugees version. First, let's hear Roberta Flack from 1973.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly.
I mean, it's luscious, right?
Yeah, forget it. I mean, you can't stop listening.
But then, 1997, the Fugees. Oh, this is one of my favorite songs of all time. Here it is.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while.
We could probably play the whole song and suck up all the time in this segment. And anyone who's not singing along to this, you have no soul. Amazing. Ray Padgett, I mean, that's one of Melissa's favorites. When you hear the two, the Roberta Flack version and the Fugees version side by side, why does that cover work so well?
The cover works so well because essentially, and I interviewed some of them for my book, what they did was they loved the Roberta Flack version and Lauryn Hill wanted to sing it to showcase her voice. But, you know, they're a rap group and they're thinking, how do we sing a Roberta Flack song on a hip hop album? And so finally what Praz came up with is basically Lauryn Hill will sing her beautiful interpretation of the vocals, but they will play it over a beat from an old Tribe Called Quest song. And that's what that song is. It's basically Lauryn Hill doing an amazing vocal over this hip hop beat. And so, you know, then it's close enough and it bridges the gap.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, I'm going to go to the phones here. We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And I'm trashing on Weezer for their terrible cover of Toto's Africa. And look, Matthew from Somerville is here to tell me I'm wrong. Matthew, you're on the air. Hello, Matthew.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Hi, what do you think?
Hi, yes. Yeah, I listen to NPR every single day. I love this show. And this is literally the first time I've ever called in because once you started talking about how much you hated the song, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I admit I am a Weezer fan. I even saw them down at Jones Beach, and they absolutely killed this cover. Everyone I've talked to loves this song. So I was just a little bit shocked that there was such
animus. I know it's not very NPR of me. I can be more balanced here. So Matthew, tell me, why do you love it? The reason why I have an issue with it is because it sounds like they put it together in 15 minutes. Like Melissa said, it's a really hews closely to the original, but not so closely that it pays homage to it. I mean, I don't even know what they're trying to do. Why do you like it?
Well, I mean, I love the song, the original song by Toto, of course. And I like that it's a little bit more rock, a little bit more high energy. There's one point, it's only a few seconds long in the middle of the song where they do a little bit of a jam out in there. I feel like it's not necessarily better than the original, but I think it's a nice spin on the original, and I appreciate both versions.
All right. Matthew, thank you so much for your call. Melissa, are you convinced yet?
Well, now I like it because of that. I didn't know it was a 13-year-old. So I have a soft spot for musicians who actually, you know what I mean? But I'm now liking the idea more of like Weezer doing Toto, now Toto doing Weezer.
Yeah.
And then like that, this could become a cool thing.
Okay. Ray Padgett, I want to turn back to you here. We heard one of Melissa's suggestions for a favorite cover with Killing Me Softly. Is there one that you like in particular?
Sure. We've been talking about this Weezer cover that doesn't change the song very much at all. One of my favorite covers changes the song a lot. It's Devo's take on Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones.
Ah, okay. So here we've got the Stones version again. This is 1965, the Rolling Stones with Satisfaction. Okay, Mick Jagger doing his thing there. Everyone knows that song. So here's the Devo version of Satisfaction. Rafe Padgett, this is from 1978, right?
Yes, from their first album.
Okay, the album Q, Are We Not Men? A, No, We Are Devo. Ray, I had never heard this before, and I'm a little bit on the fence, so tell me why you love it.
I think I love it maybe for the reason you're on the fence, which is that they threw out pretty much everything you would recognize from the original song other than the lyrics. You know, the Keith Richards famous riff, gone. The rhythm, changed. The sort of sexiness and swagger and everything Mick Jagger brings, gone. When I interviewed them, they basically said, you know, it's not like they're making fun of the Stones. They love them, but they were trying to create a bridge. They had this, you know, weird sound that only a few art school kids liked. No one else could figure out what the heck Devo was all about. So they said, what if we take a song everyone knows, but Devo-fy it? And, you know, it worked. They had bigger hits later, but they said they never would have had a career without this Satisfaction cover.
Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd never heard that version either. I think it's awesome. I love it when someone destroys something but brings new light to it, yeah. Especially when they like the song already, you know, when where it's like they appreciate the song. And I like that they didn't change the lyrics. I don't like it when people change the lyrics. I especially don't like it when people change the gender, like when women singers do a cover and they say he or they say, it says she and then they change it to he. Like Sean Colvin did that. And I was like, oh, God.
On which song?
I can't remember right now. She made a covers album. Do you know which one it was, Ray?
Oh, actually. Okay.
We don't want to go off.
One of my favorites is from that album.
Yeah, it's a great album.
Okay.
But I'm just saying.
Cover Girl is the album, and I think it's Every Little Thing He Does is
Magic. Yeah, that's quite a police song.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, since you just brought up Sean Colvin, I'm actually going to play a pair off that album, that Cover Girl album, 1994 from Sean Colvin. This is a cover she did of a Talking Heads classic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so she did a cover of This Must Be the Place, Naive Melody. Talking Heads put this out in 1983. So let's listen to their version first. Oh. I love this song, okay? So then Sean Colvin comes up in 1994 again. The album is Cover Girl, does something completely different. Oh, it's where I want to be.
guess I'm already there. I come home, you lifted a fuse. I guess this must be the place.
Now, part of why I love this song happens to be because in 1994, I was a freshman in college and I was like depressed and sitting in my dorm room. And this song, this version, it's quiet, it's tender, it reached out to me. So I have an emotional resonance with it. But what I really like is that, I mean, again, she takes this very energetic, very classically Talking Heads song and makes it her own. But it retains... I don't know. It retains a soulfulness, which I hear in both versions. But there's never going to be any confusing the two, Melissa. That's why.
But they're coming from two different emotional places. Yeah. I think. And you know, Shawn does this song live. I've toured with her a lot. She nails it. She nails a lot of covers live. She's very. How could you not listen to that voice? I mean, when she sings, she means it. She finds a way into the lyric that comes from a truthful place for herself. And I think that ultimately is what makes a great cover song.
Yeah. Let's take a couple more calls here. Wow, you guys really want to talk about covers. Karen is calling from Southboro. You're on the air, Karen.
Magna, this is a great topic. I've often had that thought. I wish people would cover that, really knock it out of the park. And one example I wanted to remind you guys of and play for everybody is Wilson Pickett's cover of Hey Jude with Dwayne Allman on the backup. It just made it better than even that iconic band made it.
Yeah,
so
wow.
That's my comment.
Karen, I wish we could play it. I mean, one of these days we'll get the tools of a music station and we'll be able to call up music just like that. But Wilson Pickett's Hey Jude, great suggestion. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Nolan, who's calling from Somerville. You're on the air, Nolan.
Hi. So I have another example from the Beatles, which I think is vastly better than the original, when Joe Cocker covers With a Little Help from My Friends. I think the original is kind of not worth listening to, but Joe Cocker turns it into an amazing ballad.
Oh, Nolan, I'm about to agree with you. I am, because I didn't even know for the longest time that the Beatles were the original version of Get By With a Little Help from My Friends, but Melissa Ferrick is shaking her head like, how could you?
I mean, this is just mind-blowing to me. I want to have coffee with you and talk about this for like 3 hours. I mean, like, just no one really should cover the Beatles. I mean, unless it's some artist who's so established and already an icon. And I can bring up the horrific cover of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by the Flaming Lips, Miley Cyrus, and Moby. It's like, out of those three people, no one in the room said, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Okay, so we have this. We don't even need to play the Beatles original because everybody knows that song. But so here's what Flaming Lips and Miley Cyrus did.
We just have to stop.
That's enough, right? But why would so? But Melissa, like you teach songwriting. Why would someone try? Why?
I don't know. I don't have any.
Okay,
idea.
Ray, do you have an answer to that?
Sure. So I think I agree. First of all, that's a terrible cover. But I fully and wholeheartedly disagree with, I think everyone should cover the Beatles. I think everyone should cover everyone. I fully support anyone's right to cover that song. I love the Joe Cocker version just as much as the caller does. I hate that one. But, you know, the Beatles are, I do agree with this part of it. The Beatles are very hard to cover in the sense that they, not only are they great songwriters, but they perfected the recordings originally. Yeah. In sort of the opposite way of like a Bob Dylan, where everyone knows he's a good songwriter, but his, you know, performances are acquired tastes. The Beatles, the arrangements are perfect, which is why I think the Joe Cocker one is so good, that it's rearranged as this soul song and, you know, not trying to cover the Beatles exactly.
Huh. Okay. Well, so switching gears here for a second, we got a tweet, Melissa, from David Dietz, if I said your name correctly, David. He's tweeting, if Melissa does not like gender-changing covers, what does she think of Aretha's Respect?
Well, Aretha Franklin can do whatever she wants. I don't... And I'm going to agree with Ray a little bit. I'm going to back up my statement about the Beatles. I think you're right, Ray. And also, just because I have so many students that are young at Berklee, it's important to keep recording songs by greats so that our new generations know these songs, because otherwise they don't know who these people are, which is like shocking to me.
Yeah. Look at all these people wanting to have their say. We got another tweet here saying the obvious, Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah,
yeah,
Johnny Cash's Hurt. John Dankosky. Hello, John from Connecticut. He says, I have two for you. David Bowie revered Lou Reed. And I think this live at the Beeb recording of White Light is nearly perfect for a rock recording. Liz is saying Hello by Adele, or any cover by Adele. So we got so many favorites here. Melissa, you've got another one, I think, of ones that you like. Oh, that has to do with Oasis?
Yeah, which is a band that a lot of people loved to hate.
But, I love to
but
love them.
What? Me too. What great songwriters. Yeah, so Ryan Adams nailed their song Wonderwall in an acoustic version. And Ryan Adams really came out, you know, and supported Oasis as a great band. And they've toured together too. So it's a wonderful version.
All right, here's Oasis with the original 1995 Wonderwall. Here we go.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Gen X reigns supreme, ladies and gentlemen, but let's fast forward to 2003. Here's Ryan Adams' cover of Wonderwall.
Today was gonna be the day they'll never bring it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
And Melissa, I heard that Oasis also loved this song. That they actually maybe even preferred this version over their own?
Yeah, well, these people are friends, too, you know? So, that, yeah, for sure. I can't believe how much I love when Ryan Adams does other people's songs anyway. So I just love the emotional shift between the two of them. And I know we heard the beginning of the original version, but, you know, drums come in and there's all sorts of other hooks. So when I heard this so stripped down with the beautiful echo and chorus on it, I just was like, this is beautiful.
Ray Padgett, what do you think?
As has probably become clear by now, I like covers that change something. And Ryan Adams in this and everything totally changes it, not just the arrangement, but even the melody he's mixing up. And as Melissa said, he puts out a cover practically every month. It's all we can do at the site to keep up with them. And it's everything from Iron Maiden to Willie Nelson to 2 years ago he did an entire album of Taylor Swift covers. And sort of everything he does is interesting, and he always changes it.
Okay, well, you mentioned Taylor Swift here. So I'm looking through my big list. We have a list of songs. Where did it go, guys? Because she did a cover of September, right?
Yeah,
okay.
About 2 months ago.
So let's play the original version here if we can. Do you guys have it? Here it is. Okay, obviously everybody knows and loves that song. And here's what Taylor Swift did it in a cover from April of this year. Again, it's the cover of Earth, Wind, and Fire's September. This is Taylor Swift. Radio and not Melissa Farrick's
face.
Did you just give me a what just
happened?
No, I'm
just so glad I've never heard that before. I'm so glad that I've been on the planet for however long it's been since she put this out and didn't ever hear it. I mean, that
but
is
what's
just
wrong with it? I mean, look,
I mean everything. There's,
come on.
I just don't. You just can't do something that bad to a song that great. I mean, there's no emotional. I guess I get stuck on the emotional connection between the performance of it and like the lyric content. There's just nothing that's I don't feel anything when Taylor Swift's this, besides the banjo situation.
Well, when I heard it, my first 5 questions were, is that a banjo?
Right.
Is that a banjo? Why is there a banjo there? But Ray Padgett, I mean, on the other hand, you know, she's not trying to copy the original, so
she sure isn't.
So what do you think?
So I think I appreciate what she's going for, that I am not inherently opposed to a banjo-led cover of September. In fact, I think that could be kind of interesting. Yeah. The way she delivers it, the production, the sort of overly earnest or fake earnest vocals, I think it's pretty unlistenable. But I'm not opposed to the idea of a country and western banjo bluegrass cover of September, if anyone else out there wants to try it.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so Melissa, we've just got a couple seconds here. You teach songwriting at Berklee. You're working with a lot of up-and-coming musicians.
Yeah.
Is there a lure? Like, do they want to do covers and do they want to do them in the right way?
Yeah, they're doing them all the time and they're doing them quickly and putting them up on YouTube because they think that by doing that, that's going to get them on the Ellen DeGeneres show and make them famous. So it's not really coming from a place of, I really want to do this and do it well and pay homage to this song that I think is amazing. So I get concerned about my students doing it all the time.
All right. Well, hopefully they've listened to this and they're getting some pointers on how to do it right. Melissa Farrick, Associate Professor of Songwriting at Berklee College of Music, thank you so very
much. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you. And Ray Padgett, author of Cover Me, The Stories Behind the Greatest Cover Songs of All Time, also creator of CoverMeSongs.com. Ray, it was great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Magna.
And listeners, thank you for calling in with your favorite covers and for tweeting me as well. We're going to go out with the original, the classic, Toto from 1982. This is Africa. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.
Dogs cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like...